Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب تبصرة لأولي الألباب وأودعه من فنون العلوم والحكم العجب العجاب وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may His peace and blessings be upon His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First of all, I'd just like to thank the brothers and sisters from the UWS MSA for inviting us here for such a great event. And I say a great event, why? Because the title, the Quran, A Timeless Miracle, is such an important and vital topic, especially for us here living in the West. And it's such an vital and important topic for us here living in the West because we have so many attacks on the Quran. For example, we have Geert Wilder in the Netherlands who claims that the Quran is a fascist book and equates it to Mein Kampf by Hitler. We have US pastors calling for the Quran burning day. And we have recently reports that US soldiers have burnt the Quran in a military base in Afghanistan. And this is not only limited to the present day, but also historically as well. In Indonesia, for example, there's a famous English Orientalist by the name of William Marsden in the 1800s, who when he came to Indonesia, said that the Quran was a daily encroachment for the people of Sumatra. And so what we want to do tonight, inshallah, is to try to dispel some of these misconceived notions and these biased perceptions. And so my talk today will focus on two things. Number one, the Quran being a text of truth. And number two, it being a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that the Anbiya, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have peace on them all. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the Anbiya many miracles. For example, Musa alayhi salam was able to beat the sorcerers of Fir'aun. And he did it in such an amazing fashion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, فَأُلْقِيَ سَحَرَةُ سُجَّدًا, that the sorcerers then prostrated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they said, قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ هَارُونَ وَمُوسَى. They said that we believe in the Lord of Harun and Musa. So this is how much of an effect that the miracle of Musa alayhi salam had on the sorcerers at that time. Not only that, but we have Isa alayhi salam, for example. It's narrated that he had cured and healed many sick people. And we have miracles from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. For example, that he had split the moon. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, اِقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةَ وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرِ, that the hour came near and the moon split. Also as well in the Battle of Tabuk, where the Sahaba were eating from a plate of food, And when this food was passed on to each companion, every Sahabi got his full or his fill of food. Also as well, narrations that the Prophet ﷺ had water coming out from his fingers. These are all very beautiful miracles that came from the Prophet ﷺ. However, the Prophet ﷺ says in one hadith, ما من نبي من الأنبياء, there is not a messenger amongst the prophets, إلا وقد أعطي من الآيات ما آمن على مثله البشر. There is not a single prophet that has been given a miracle, and because of this miracle, the people then believed in him. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that وَإِنَّمَا كَانَ الَّذِي أُوتِيتُهُ وَحْيًا أَوْحَى اللَّهُ إِلَيَّ. And he says, as for my miracle, forget about the fact that I split the moon. Forget about the fact that the Sahaba got their fill of food. Forget about the fact that water came through his fingers, amongst many other miracles. He said that his miracle that counts is the wahi, the revelation that was sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, فَأَرْجُ أَنْ أَكُونَ أَكْثَرَهُمْ تَابِعًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And he goes, and I hope that I will be the biggest in followers يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And so the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself is saying that the Qur'an is the miracle. Although the Anbiya had many miracles, the Qur'an is the miracle that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given. And Imam Suyuti, to stress the point, he says that mu'jizatul Qur'an mustamirratun ila yawm al-qiyamah. And this is what distinguishes it from any other miracles. He says that the Qur'an, it's a continuous miracle until the Day of Judgment. All of the other miracles, they came and they went. They were time contingent. So, for example, the sorcerers during the time of Musa alayhi salam being defeated by Musa alayhi salam with the permission of Allah, this happened during that time, and we know about it because of the Quran. Musa alayhi salam splitting the Red Sea, we already know this because of the Quran. We know that the Prophet sallam split the moon because of what was informed about it in the Quran. But we can't see any evidence of this today. And so the Quran, this is mustamirratun ila yawm al-qiyamah. This is a continuous miracle up until the Day of Judgment. Imam Suyuti in his Itqan, he mentions that miracles are dependent on three things. Number one is that it's amrun khariqun lil'ada. Is that it is something, it is a matter which goes against the natural norm, meaning that it's extraordinary. It's something that the people haven't seen before. It's amazing. It's a wonder. Number two, that it is makrunun bittahaddi. It is associated or attached to a challenge. Okay, so the Quran, we see that it has a challenge in it, and we'll go on later on. And also as well, it's salimun anil mu'arada, and it cannot be matched. Okay, so if we look to Musa alayhi salam, what happened? He threw his stick with the command of Allah on the ground. It then consumed the magician's things. And then what happened? The sorcerers, they admitted defeat. It was a challenge from Musa alayhi salam, but they weren't able to meet that challenge. So what happened? فَأُلْقِيَ سَحَرْتُ سُجَّدًا. That they fell in prostration to their Lord. And سَالِمٌ عَلِ الْمُعَارَضَةِ. And no one else could beat Musa concerning this. And this is the same with the Quran. But before we get onto that, we have to go into a little bit of historical context. Because when we talk about the miracle of the Quran, if we look at the books of Ulum al-Quran, we find that there are many types of i'jaz in the Quran. There is, the scientific miracles. There are, and the stories of the prophets are considered to be miracles, min i'jaz al-Quran. Also as well, other things as well, i'jaz al-lughawi. But the one that I want to focus on today is the miracle of the language and the style of the Qur'an. I'jaz al-lughawi. And this is because when the ulama talk about the miracle of the Qur'an, This is what they mean by it. They mean the Quran being a linguistic miracle. And so if we look at history, we find that the Arabs, at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were at the highest of eloquence. They were the best in speech. They were the masters of the Arabic language. And this is testified by even non-Muslim Orientalist scholars. For example, Margoliath, Zamet, Muir, okay, and also Philip Heaty in his History of the Arabs, he says, they were articulate users of the language, but also held those skilled in the arts of linguistic composition in high esteem. So during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and even before that, we saw the Arabs battling it out, if you will, in poetry. And so they had an annual event. It was called the annual fair of Uqav. And during this event, all poets from around the Arabian Peninsula would gather together and would recite poetry to one another. And the best poetry would be hung on the doors of the Kaaba. And this is in the history books. Also as well, Ibn Khaldum in his Muqaddimah, he says, it should be known that Arabs thought highly of poetry as a form of speech. Therefore, they made it as the archives of the history, their evidence for what they considered right and wrong, and the principal basis of reference for most of their sciences and wisdom. So you can see from these quotes that I've mentioned that the Arabic language was held of high esteem at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so obviously, when we look to the linguistic miracle of the Quran, obviously I can easily go and dictate to you many of the linguistic technicalities of the Quran, which make it a miracle. But what I want to do is highlight some examples from the Arabs themselves that demonstrate how much of an effect the Quran had on them. Why? Because they were the masters of the language. And the people that I will mention are not companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were actually enemies of Islam and the Muslims. But they testified to the magnificence of the Quran and the miraculous nature of the Quran. And so the first example that I want to give is the example of Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira. He was one of the famous or most famous poets amongst the Quraysh and even in the Arabian Peninsula. You probably can equate him to that day's Shakespeare. Okay, he was that eloquent in poetry and prose. And there was an incident that he was going past the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reciting the Quran. And when he went past, he was listening and was entranced by the recitation. Abu Jahl, he immediately saw this. He saw this look that Al-Walid had on his face and went to him. And he said, "Oh my uncle, can you say something to the people about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam so that they will not follow him?" And he said, "Wallahi, what can I say? For there is nothing amongst anything from what I have heard, not even from the jinn, that compares with what I just heard from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam." And he says, "I am a master in shi'r. I'm a master in poetry, but I've never heard anything like this." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentions this incident and mentions his predicament. Why? Because he was in a situation where he understood the Quran and understood the truthful nature of it, but he had to go back and answer to his bosses with the Quraysh. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that ultimately he did not believe in the message. Okay, that he made up some excuse that it was sorcery. Okay, and that his abode is to the hellfire. The second example is another famous person or personality from Sanadir al-Quraysh, from the leaders of the Quraysh, His name is Utbah bin Rabi'a, and he is famous. I'm sure we've heard his name before. He is the father of Hind. Hind bin Utbah. Okay, Hind bin Utbah was the same lady that during the Battle of Uhud, when Hamza, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was killed in battle, she was the one who ate the liver of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The liver of the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this was a family that was obviously had a lot of enmity against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, his companions, Islam, and the Muslims. And so Utbah bin Rabi'a, he volunteered himself to meet with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to discuss the matter of prophecy with him, discuss what the Quraysh wants from him. And so Utbah bin Rabi'a, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he discussed with him in great detail about what he wanted from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he discussed with him that, look, leave your message, okay? I know you have these ideas and thoughts, but leave this and let the Quraysh resume with the practices of paganism of their forefathers. This is what Utbah bin Rabi'a suggested to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after all of this talking, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَقَدْ فَرَغْتَ يَا أَبَا الْوَلِيدِ. Have you finished, ya Abu Walid? Abu Walid was his kunya of Utbah bin Rabi'a. And he said, na'am. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fasma' minni. He said, listen to me. And then he recited the verse, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Hamim, Tanzilum minar Rahmanir Rahim, Kitabun fussilat ayatuhu Qur'anan Arabiyyan liqawmin ya'lamun. He recited the whole surah. Okay, not just that bit, but the whole surah. And I'll just translate the meaning. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. Hamim, a revelation from Allah, the most merciful. This is a book whose verses are explained in detail. A Quran in Arabic for a people who reflect. And Utbah bin Rabi'a, he was entranced by this. He was in a state of shock. He listened to the whole recitation, fixated on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had finished, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to him, "You have heard what you've heard. Now go back and do whatever you want with it." And so, when Utbah bin Rabi'a came back to the Quraysh, it's narrated, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ أَبُو وَلِيدٍ بِغَيْرِ الْوَجْهِ الَّذِي ذَهَبَ بِهِ. That Utbah bin Rabi'a, he came back to his people in a different way. He was a different man after having heard this. And the Sonadid al-Quraysh, the leaders of the Quraysh, they said, what happened, Abu al-Walid? And he said, أَنِّي قَدْ سَمِعْتُ قَوْلًا وَاللَّهِ مَا سَمِعْتُ مِثْلُهُ قَدْ. He said that I have heard some words that I've never heard before in my life. Wallahi ma huwa bishir. He says, by Allah, this is not poetry. Wala bis-sihr, and it's not magic. Wala bil-kahana, and it is not sorcery. Ya ma'shar Quraysh, ati'uni waj'aluha bi wa khallu bayna hadha ar-rajul wa bayna ma huwa fihi fa'taziluhu. Basically, Utbah bin Rabi'a, he said, listen to me carefully, guys. This guy, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, has come with something special. Leave him alone. Leave this man alone. And we know that Utbah bin Rabi'a, he eventually passed away. He died as a non-Muslim. He died in the Battle of Badr. He died in a state of kufr. This is why I'm mentioning these examples. Why? Because they were non-believers, and they are testifying to the linguistic excellence of the Quran. And so, after talking about some of the examples of the Arabs being affected by the Quran, also as well, an important thing about a miracle is that it attempts to challenge the people. And so this challenge is from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up until the Day of Judgment. And these ayat that challenge the people, they are called ayat al-tahaddi. Okay, these are the verses that challenge. And they are five verses, and they go in a certain order. So the first verse asks the people to produce something like the Quran. So the first verse goes, أَمْ يَقُولُونَ تَقَوَّلَهُ بَلْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ فَلْيَأْتُوا بِحَدِيثٍ مِثْلِهِ إِن كَانُوا صَادِقِينَ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or do they say, he has forged it. They do not believe, let them produce a similar recitation to it, if they are indeed truthful. So bring something similar like the Quran, if you dare, if you can. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pushes the stakes a bit. He lifts the stakes a bit. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives a second challenge. أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَى قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِعَشَرِ سُوَرٍ مِثْلِهِ مُفْتَرَيَاتٍ وَادْعُوا مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or do they say that he has forged it? Bring 10 surahs like unto it. And call upon whoever you can besides of Allah, if you are indeed truthful. So first we have, bring a hadith like it. Bring a recitation like it. Then bring 10 verses like it. And then in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it more easier for the people, you could say. And it was the verse that the brother mentioned. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. That, and if you are in any doubt in that which has been revealed unto his slave, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ, then make one surah like unto it. وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ, and bring your witnesses. مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, if you are indeed truthful. And this is an open challenge. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا, and if you can't do it, and verily you can't do it. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that you can try to do it, but you won't be able to do it. فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةِ, then fear the hellfire whose fuel is men and stones. أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ, and this has been prepared for the disbelievers. So this is the ultimate challenge. And there have been people in the past that have tried to meet this challenge. But from the examples that I'll give, you'll see that they've failed miserably. And I was talking about some of these examples with one of the teachers that I teach with in Arabic. He's an Arabic teacher. And he was laughing. He was laughing about the examples that were given. And so the first example that I want to give was that of Musaylama al-Kadhab. Musaylama al-Kadhab, he was alive during the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he claimed prophethood. He claimed that he was a prophet. And his name was actually Maslama, but they gave him the ism tasghir, you know, the lower name, Musaylama, and they gave him the kunya al-Kadhab because he was a liar. And so he tried to challenge the Qur'an by bringing certain verses. And one of the verses that he came with was the elephant, the verse about the elephant. And so he says, Al-fil, mal-fil, wa ma adraka mal-fil, lahu dhanabun wabil, wa khurtumun tawil. Okay, look at this. He says, the elephant. What is the elephant? What will make you comprehend the elephant? It has a fairy tail, وَلَهُ خُرْطُومٌ طَوِيلٌ, and it has a really long trunk. Okay? This is madness. Okay? This is madness. And he tried to copy the uslub of the Qur'an. Verses like, أَلْقَارِعَةُ مَا الْقَارِعَةُ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْقَارِعَةُ. Okay, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the striking hour. What is the striking hour? What would make you comprehend the striking hour? يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسُ كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ, on the day when when mankind will be like thickly scattered moths. And the verse continues, eloquent. And also as well, copies a verse of Al-Haqqa. Al-Haqqatu mal-Haqqa, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحَاقَّةِ. The reality. What is the reality? What will make you comprehend the reality? Meaning the day of resurrection. And so this is, we can say, absolute rubbish. And even the people at his time had recognized his kadhib, that he was full of lies. We have the example of Amr bin As. Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, he came across Musaylama one day, and Musaylama had asked him, ماذا أنزل على صاحبكم بمكة في هذا الحين? He says, what came or what was revealed on your companion in Mecca during this time? And Amr bin As, he mentioned Surah Al-Asr from beginning to end. And Amr bin As, he asked him, what has been revealed to you? And the Ibn Kathir in his Bidayah wa Nihaya, he mentions that Musaylama al-Kadhab, he started thinking, and he thought for about an hour about the verse that he was going to come up with. And he came up with a verse, okay, it's as follows. Ya wabar, ya wabar, innama anta udhunani wa sadr. Okay, he says, oh wabar, wabar is like a furry sort of animal, okay? Oh furry animal. Innama anta udhunani wa sadr. You are two ears and a chest, okay? And it continues. Okay, and also as well, he's tried to come up with some other verses as well, like وَالطَّاحِنَاتِ طَحْنَا, for example, the grinder, you know, the one who grinds. وَالْخَابِزَاتِ خُبْزَا. He's talking about خُبْز now, he's talking about bread, okay? Maybe he was hungry when he was thinking about these verses. And so, Musaylama al-Kadhab, he tried to challenge the Qur'an, but he failed miserably. And this challenge remains up until the Day of Judgment, and it won't, and no one will be able to meet this challenge. No one. Okay, now I want to talk about a bit about the revelation and the compilation of the Quran, if that's okay. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, obviously when he received the first revelation, this was a great responsibility on his shoulders. لِتُنذِرَ أُمَّ الْقُرَى وَمَنْ حَوْلَهَا, so that you may warn the mother of cities and all that surrounds it. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had the very important duty of revealing this Qur'an to the companions, radiallahu anhum. And there are narrations of how this Qur'an was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And one of these hadith from Aisha radiallahu anha mentions how the Qur'an came down on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so one of the companions, by the name of Al-Harith bin Hisham radiallahu anhu, he states that, I said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, kayfa ya'tika al-wahi? He said, O Messenger of Allah, how did the revelation come to you? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, أَحْيَانًا يَأْتِنِي مِثْلَ صَلْصَلَةِ الْجَرَسِ. He said that sometimes it came to me like the ringing of a bell. And this was أَشَدَّ عَلَيَّ. This was the most hardest on me. This was the most hardest on me. And sometimes as well, the second way that the revelation would come was with Jibril alayhi salam coming in human form and reciting the verses to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would then reveal it unto his companions. And obviously, it wasn't recited in one block, but rather it was recited in stages in accordance with the things that were occurring at that time. And so, this was then transferred to the companions. And you had hundreds of companions then memorized these verses. And amongst the companions who had memorized most of the Qur'an were Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Hudhayfa bin Yaman, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, Mu'adh bin Jabal, and Zayd bin Thabit, and others. As for the whole Qur'an, Anas bin Malik, he narrates that Ubay bin Ka'b, Mu'adh bin Jabal, Zayd bin Thabit, and Abu Zayd, amongst many others, had memorized the Qur'an completely during the lifetime of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even during the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would also order his companions to write the Qur'an. Okay, and we also have to understand that the context, the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people were an oral society. It was an oral society of oral transmission. So verses of poetry would be memorized. If someone recited some poetry, someone would listen to it, would memorize it automatically. And this was like the companions. They were the sharpest in their memorization, to the extent that Anas bin Malik, he narrates how many hairs that the Prophet ﷺ had on his beard. And he had 14 hairs. This is how daqiq they were. This is how detailed they were in their memorization. And so you had thousands, just to make it, to sum it up, you had thousands and hundreds of companions memorize the Qur'an. This then was transmitted to the tabi'een in their thousands, and then transmitted to the tabi'een up until our present day. Okay, and this is what you call a mutawatir transmission. And mutawatir is when something arawahu jama'a yastahilu fil 'ada ay yatawata'u 'ala al-kadhib. This is when a group of people narrate something onto another group of people. Okay, yastahilu fil 'ada ay yatawata'u 'ala al-kadhib, that the number is so big that it is impossible for them to agree upon a lie. So you had hundreds and thousands of companions memorize the Quran. Okay, and then after that, going to the tabi'een, tabi'i tabi'een, being transmitted. And not only that, but also as well a tradition of compilation. So the Qur'an being first compiled during the time of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and then at the time of Uthman bin Affan, radiallahu anhuma. I'll leave it there, inshallah. I could go on longer with this topic, but inshallah we can answer some of the questions on the compilation during the question-answer session. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe. Share and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.